Hello. Thanks for coming to our talk. I'm Zach, this is Numa, and we'll be giving you a presentation on using game technology with progressive web apps in Babylon.js. So firstly, we'll just be giving you a little bit of an overview of what JigSpace is, the platform we're creating, and showing you our tech journey from going through Unity and then going into web apps, and also how we applied principles of game development to non-gaming applications. And we'll give you a couple of demos in there. So firstly, what is JigSpace? It's a platform for creating and sharing interactive 3D instructions for anything. So we want to create a world where you can look at anything around you and say, how does that work? And that information is immediately available to you in 3D on whatever device you have with you. So today, that device is a mobile phone, and tomorrow it's going to be AR and VR and across all these mixed reality platforms. So to create that vision, there are a couple of things we need to do. But firstly, I'll just show you a quick demo of what a jig is and what JigSpace is. So here you can see our platform. You can select any of these jigs, have a look at them. This is one of my favorites, how a lock works. So this is an example of a jig that is a simple thing that we see every day, but it's locked away. You don't know what's in there, and you can step through it, see descriptions on how things work. You can interact with it. You can zoom in and out, and it'll show you the process of how a lock actually works and how all the shear line lines up and the tumbler's able to open. And you can just step through that at your own pace and interact with it. That's a really simple example of what JigSpace is, and that's all created too in the tool that we have. So how do we get there? If we want to realize this vision, if we want to have this information everywhere, there are three core requirements to do this. We need a tool that makes these easy to create. You need to be able to share this knowledge easily. It needs to be easy to transport, so it has to be able to be quickly moved around the web and deployed wherever you need it. And it has to be easy to view, which means ubiquitous viewers. It has to be everywhere. With those things in place, we can realize the vision we have with JigSpace. But to tell you a little bit more about the technical journey we've gone on, Numa's going to shed a bit of light on that.
Yep, thanks, Zach. So Zach and I are from a games development background. So when we started working in JigSpace, we decided to build it using Unity. So Unity was great because it lets us quickly build and prototype. So that was really handy. It also lets us deploy to multiple platforms. So that checked most of our boxes. But there was one thing that Unity didn't do so well, and it was building for the web. The WebGL exports that we were getting out of Unity were 50, 60 megabit JavaScript files that people had to download and parse before they were even able to view our content. So we ended up having load times of about 50 seconds, which is way too long. So pretty much anything more than 5 seconds, and people are just going to leave. So that didn't pass our second requirement, which is that jigs have to be easy to transport. They have to be available instantly when someone needs them. So that's when we realized we were going to have to rebuild the entire thing for the web using WebGL and JavaScript. So we started having a look at graphics library. So we had a look at 3.js, which is a really powerful library, and lots of people are building great things with it. We also had a look at Babylon.js. And Babylon was perfect for us because it's more of a games framework than just a graphics library. So it has all the features that we use and we normally use in game engines already built in. So Babylon has classes to handle controllers and different types of cameras, and loading assets, textures, 3D models, sounds. It's got web VR as well. Like, enabling web VR in a Babylon application is just one line of code. All you have to do is declare your camera as a web VR camera, and that's all the rest is handled for you. So that made it really easy. And yeah, Babylon pretty much does everything other big game engines do, except it's got a tiny, tiny footprint. The entire Babylon library is slightly over a meg. So it loads and it runs really fast, even on phones. And it also got a really active community. So there's a lot of developers adding new features and fixing bugs all the time. And they've got a great forum as well where you can get all the help you need. And people just jump on it and help you out. So all in all, that transition to JavaScript in Babylon wasn't that hard at all. And we were able to pick it up pretty quick. And in a few weeks, we had our app up and running again. And it changed everything for us. The load times went down from around 50 seconds to 3 to 5 seconds, which is exactly where we wanted to be. And the file size dropped dramatically as well. So from the Unity's build around 30, 40 megs, we went down to a meg and a half. So it's a completely different world. And it instantly, we went from having all this content that was unreachable by people because it was too long to load, to having our entire library instantly accessible. But there's more. So once we had a really light and fast web viewer, we were able to take advantage of Microsoft's hosted web apps. So a hosted web app lets you convert your website into a desktop application without writing a single line of code. All you have to do is build a blank app and point it at your website, and you end up with a desktop app that people can download, they can install it, they can put it on their desktop, pin it to their taskbar, and it's always in sync and always up to date with your website. And you get to take advantage of all the cool desktop environment features, so you get to use like new peripherals like the Microsoft Dial, for instance. And what I really like about it is that building web apps lets you take a different approach. You take a web-first approach. So rather than building a heavy desktop app and then trying to constrain it into a web context, you start by building something that's light and fast first, and then you deploy it to other platforms. And that's really important if you want to build great applications that your users are going to love. But having a fast technology is not the only thing that you need to build amazing experiences, and Zach is going to tell you a little bit more about that.
So, coming from a game background, we wanted to apply the experience we got, not just with the technology, but also with the design. So, one of the things about 3D is that it's very hard to work with. So, as an end user, most of the tools that we have available today are high-end, they're complex, and you use them for work. They're not generally something that you jump into, unless you're an artist who just goes in and creates art, you're not going to be using it in a light and easy way to create bite-sized knowledge. So that's something that we had to overcome. We applied a few principles here from game development. So the first one is light versus heavy. So the idea of all the information that you need to create a jig should be there when you need it, and at other times it should just stay out of your way. So that means no deep menus that you're having to dive through to do what you want. We also wanted to make it juicy, which is the idea of interactions at every stage when you're actually interacting with the app. They're fun and they're light and they kind of bounce around. They've got a nice color palette, and there's no, again, it's got to be an experience that you enjoy. It's got to be delightful. And one of the biggest ones is this idea of short feedback loops. So rather than in a typical app, you're going to have to go from the start to the very end of your process and then get feedback from a stakeholder at the end. We wanted to make those feedback loops much, much shorter. So that when you use something, at every moment, the tools are telling you that, yes, this is what you wanted to use, and this is the outcome you're expecting. And as well, in the meta loop of the entire creation of a jig, you go from concept through to deployment as quickly as possible, and you can iterate quickly. That makes the whole experience simple, useful, and fun. And that's what we needed to be able to create a tool that everyone can use, not just professionals. So now I'm going to give you a demo and take you through the whole process of creating a jig from start to finish. Let's do this. So I'll create a jig here. This is the jig workshop. I'm going to make a jig of how to plug in a USB, because that's a very important topic, I feel. Okay, so what we can do here is we can import a model. So I've got a USB. And right, here's the model brought in. So you can see the environment that we've created here is very simple. There's not a lot of information there until you start interacting with it. So let's go through and set up this jig. When you select an element, you have the tools associated with it. And there's really five major tools here at the top. So you can move, you can rotate, you can set the size, You can add a label to it. Let's call it a plug. You can turn the labels on, and you can set its color. So I'm going to jump through here, and let's make it kind of a black USB cable. I'm going to turn this metal. What type of USB is it? Let's make it 3.1. Okay, and you just keep going through. You set up what you want. This is a blue case. And change this to metal. So there, I've gone through and I've set up how I want it to look. Now what I can do is I want to be able to move this plug, but as you can see, it's not connected to the rest of these elements. So I can just attach the elements I want, and there it'll move when I move that main piece. So we're able to just set up that whole process very simply. So let's go through and make this jig. So firstly, you're just gonna put the USB in. Nope, I think I've got that round the wrong way. Happens to me every time. Okay, let's flip it over. And there. Perfect. And now we can insert it. Nope, still the wrong way. Right, one more time. Okay, perfect. There. Now we can go through and we can look at the steps we've just created. So the first step shows where to go to the second one, and this just does all the animation for you, all the tweening is done. Flip it over. Right, nope, we need to do it again. And there, plugged in a USB. Easy as you like. Now I'll put a little bit of text up there at the top, so you can put instructions for each stage as well. And you can change labels. You can kind of add whatever information you want at every step, and it'll just move between that. So now, if we want to publish this to the web, all we need to do is jump in here. We can give it a description. And we can set the visibility. So I'm going to make it public. What it does is it tells me, put up a thumbnail so that people can see what they're about to look at. So I just choose a nice stage that I like. Take a thumbnail, and now I can view it immediately in the web. So this is live right now on the website, and that's viewable by anyone. You can just step through those stages and see the jig from start to finish. That's how simple it is. Oh, it's off at a little bit of an angle there. That's dangerous. It's broken. But that's how simple it is to create something. And now that's deployed live on the web. So you can share that link around anywhere, and anyone can see it immediately. And because it's WebGL, that's on every device. So on all your phones, anything that has a browser and supports WebGL is able to view this. And the other great thing is that it's also in the hosted web app. So anyone who has access, who can download this, always has the most up-to-date version of it. And they can just view it from a desktop application that does exactly the same thing. So that's the process of creating a jig from start to finish. It's very simple. The tool is available right now on the website, so you can actually jump up there and start making your own jigs. We'll also be doing a spotlight session tomorrow that you'll be able to come over and make some jigs with us. So, in conclusion, there's a lot of use for game technology right now, because as we move into the era of 3D interfaces and 3D computing, we're going to have a lot more problems that are around 3D rendering, and game technology really helps us get through those things, and it's really useful to have a look into it if you plan on doing any mixed reality stuff. Babylon.js brought us a lot of speed that we didn't have and that we needed for our platform, and the whole progressive web app is a new paradigm for creating applications that are light from the very beginning. So I'd encourage you to apply principles of game development and technology to these kind of problems, because we can create light, fun, and useful applications for everyone. So yeah, thank you, and please come over tomorrow and have a look at our spotlight session. And thank you very much.